This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Joining us again, they came back, are Doug Lunn and Annette Kazanowski, who have been with us this little series of episodes, talking about everything from vocal direction to actors' techniques, and we're very glad to have you with us. Thanks for showing up. Anyway, We want to talk a little bit today more about acting techniques in the sense of what are some things that actors shouldn't do to each other and to their cast. I mean, just kind of good things to avoid. And one of them John said is it's don't be late, right?
Don't be late. Don't keep your other actors waiting. It's not fair. Your actors or your directors.
Waste their time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the answer to that is if you start on time all the time, whether they're there or not, they'll either soon be there or they'll drop out.
Well, the director can train the actors that way in terms of if the director doesn't start on time, then the actors don't show up on time because they don't feel like they need to.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. All right.
But we can nip it in the butt.
Nip it. There
nip
we go.
Nip it in the butt.
Do it like, yeah, right. Don Knotts. What are some, I'll ask our guests, what are some things about other actors that drive you crazy that you wish they wouldn't do?
Ooh,
Annette's got one, I can tell.
Well, I hadn't answered the last question. I don't know if I want to phrase it under that question because I don't want people to think that I don't like them. but one thing is an actor needs to respect who the director is in the show and should not ever tell somebody else on stage what to do.
Ooh, you know, that's one of my director's pet peeves. And that's the one that, you've been in one of my shows where I've announced that at the beginning that don't do that.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Backstage directors?
It causes bad, it really hurts the ensemble as the ability to all work together. And, you know, it's the director's job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know if you're right. I mean, you should stand over there a little bit more. Well, if the director told him to stand here or, you know, and sometimes it's a case where the director has said something. I've heard him say it to another actor and they're still not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the times when I know it's really tempting for actors to say, no, you're supposed to be over there. But I think it's really important to to trust your director to take care
and
of
And that's
things.
Different than one actor helping another one remember, hey, no, you're supposed to be over there. Like during
yeah.
the show when someone's like just had a brain fart and gone the wrong
course.
Direction. That's different.
Yeah.
But right.
And sometimes it's a fine line between I'm helping them remember something that they keep forgetting versus I'm
right.
bossing them or I'm trying to direct them. And that's
right.
You know, you have to kind of feel where
how do you handle it when an actor comes up and says, you know what, let's just do it this way? I mean, and it sounds like a good idea to
it's
you.
It's very conspiratorial.
Well,
no, but I've had it happen to me.
Well, I would approach the director. Or sometimes we'll say, well, let's try it this way and see what the director says. And then we ask the director afterward, well, we did this way tonight in rehearsal. What do you think? Or should we go back to the other way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually, I mean, I always feel like, and I guess this is answering a different question, what shouldn't you do to a director, which maybe you're getting to that later. But, you know, as an actor, it's my job to always say yes to what the director asks of me, to never say no.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gives me a direction that I feel like, I don't think that's really right. It's my job to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's my job to make that direction work with who my character is and where things are going. If I give it my all and it still is not working, the director, if the director is watching, is going to see that it's not right. And then he'll say, okay, you know what? Let's look at this part again.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes I struggle and struggle and struggle. And finally I have to pull the director aside and say, okay, I'm really working with this, but I can't make this this happen because of this. Is there some way that we can find out another way to do this? Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I don't want to tell the director, you know, his or her job either, because I know that they're the ones seeing it from the outside and seeing the whole picture. And
well, I think a good director is going to sit, you know, if it's not working and not working, the director is going to come and say, I don't think it's working. Are you uncomfortable with it? Is that the problem? Or is it not this? What's bothering you? Because, I mean, I don't know. I can tell. You know, you right. When you have an actor who's, you want them to do something and they just can't quite get there, and you ask them why.
Well, I think that's up front. There's, I mean, a lot of times to have an open conversation up front about if you're, how you direct, which we've talked about that in the past, but if you're a director who's open for suggestion, then that needs to be stated up front. Mm-hmm. So that a person like Annette or Doug, if they're coming, if they have a problem with something that's being discussed or something that the director wants them to do, if it's been discussed up front, it's all right to come with me, to come to me with your issues and let's discuss it, so that they know that that's okay. As long as those boundaries are set, you know, please don't stop rehearsal, please don't do this, please don't, you know, but mm-hmm. if you have a problem, come to me. Then that's I think that helps immensely, that you've set that ground rule up front as well.
But even then, as an actor, I would want to try to make your direction work first.
Well, I would hope. Yeah. I would hope, as a director, I would hope that you would try to incorporate it.
Not all actors do that. I mean, right. There's, you know, they don't, it can be hard to be flexible enough to say, that's a whole different direction, but I'm going to make that work. Mm-hmm. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that hopefully people develop as they work in theater.
As it, when you know your part and you have an actor or two that don't, I mean, just the memorization isn't there. They aren't there. And obviously that's a problem because it slows the whole rehearsal period down and people are calling for line or whatever it happens to be. I mean, how do you handle that as an actor? I mean, where do you go? You know, you'd like to actually work with that actor, but they aren't letting you until the last nanosecond before dress rehearsal because they don't know their lines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Annette has firsthand experience.
Yeah,
this.
Well, no. This is
as
not,
a director.
This isn't
I know
new.
What it is.
So as an actor, if my fellow actors, so it's hard to develop our relationship on stage because they don't know their lines. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? Well, one thing that I might do would be, you know, if they know that they don't know their lines, hopefully they wouldn't take offense to me saying, hey, do you want to come 15 minutes early and let's go through this scene together, you know, just doing the lines. So I will work with them. I once worked with a woman who, you know, she was great, but she had problems remembering her lines. But once she started, she had to go through it exactly as it was on the page. And if she couldn't remember the exact word, she would just stop. So I couldn't, like, jump to the next line because she would get stuck. I couldn't fill in her line for her because then she couldn't keep going.
Right.
So what I ended up doing was taking all of our lines together and figuring out, okay, if she gets stuck here, what could I say to remind her of what the next word is to go through? And I did that work so that we could get through the scene. And we used that during rehearsal. By the time we got right. to the show, she was fine. She didn't need it anymore. But that did help us to kind of to get there together.
Right, right.
Doug, what was your experience?
What?
Well, you said you had experience with Annette as your director. What was your experience?
Well, as a cast of Rumors, cast member, we as a group had some general problems remembering our lines.
Oh.
Pretty close up to performance and including some yes. lines. So I know that they were frustrated with us and we were equally frustrated with ourselves because it seemed like we should be able to do this. And we were just having a terrible time getting those lines sequenced. So that just took a lot of repetition and practice at home and coming early and doing certain scenes. Like Tina and I did lots of scenes in the lobby whenever we could. But that was the most difficult show I think I've ever done in terms of remembering lines.
Really?
That was very hard.
That's amazing, because in Chaperone, I think you had many more long,
but they were
long,
all speeches.
Long. Well, yeah.
It was much more difficult to play off of another person.
In Rumors, that one long speech at the end, you just whipped right through that.
Well, it gets tougher too if you don't, if you're not off book, and there's a lot of physical stuff that goes along with
it. And that's giggling.
It's tougher also if you don't know the lines, or if your co-actors don't know the lines, and there's a lot of physical stuff that has to happen in between lines. That adds that other dimension to it too. You really can't practice the physical stuff when they're still holding the book, or as we mm-hmm. like to say, off book but on cards.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was,
memorization is, I mean, it's a hard thing to work with in community theater, I think.
And the older you get, the harder it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you have to be patient. I mean, we tried to be patient.
They were a delight.
You know, a thing that bothers me as an actor on stage, and it shouldn't, but it kind of does, is when another actor plays without letting me know they're going to play. Mm. So meaning that they want to try something, mm-hmm. but they haven't informed me of it. So like, I remember getting, what was it? Oh, during I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Changed.
Right.
And another actor, and he was doing a great job in the show, but he chose to hit me on the back of the head in the scene as part of his character, but didn't tell me it was coming. And so there was no preparation. I had no, and my response in the show is supposed to be fear. My response physically was immediate anger. Mm. And if he had just shared with me that he was going to experiment, it would have made that moment, I think, really, really funny. Instead, all it did was I got like upset and angry because.
Did you take a swing at it?
It hurt. No, but it hurt. And I wasn't prepared for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so that's not the only time that's ever happened. I mean, I like to play on stage, but if I'm going to try something new, I always want to make sure I talk with the other actor about it first so that it doesn't surprise them, unless it's something that you want to literally surprise them with, you know, and see that look on their face. And then it's like everything stops, you know, usually right. Everything stops and you get a good laugh out of it. And then it's either incorporated, because sometimes it's so funny it is incorporated, or it's like, okay, let's get back to the serious business at hand. But, mm-hmm.
but hopefully that happens relatively early in the rehearsal period.
Right, exactly. Well, sometimes though, experiments, if you have an idea and if the director is still willing, because I know mm-hmm. Dave likes to make changes up to the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that.
Well, but and it, sometimes they really, really work. Okay. You know, it's like, oh gosh, we had this idea and it's going
to
work.
Yeah, but you have to be able to know which actors are amenable to that.
Well,
and
that's true.
And which ones it will throw for a loop and they'll forget everything.
Right. Well, the reason that it happens for me, and a lot of times it's in like, some of the murder mysteries are a comedy, but it has to do with once the show's up to pace, suddenly things start to occur to us that could work, mm-hmm. you know, and it happens for the actors too. So that a lot of times that's when things change. Plus, when the pace gets up the pace, sometimes the blocking, especially if people are moving, it's different, mm-hmm. you know.
We were sitting at the bar last night after the show was over, and
which is what we do a lot after shows,
or go out for dinner or whatever. But one of the actors of the show that is currently in production had a revelation. Just we were talking mm-hmm. about character, mm-hmm. and it was just it was a physical moment that he was missing. And when we were talking about it, it suddenly became clear to him what he needed to do to possibly make that moment funnier, mm-hmm. but also to make it, he's always been struggling with that moment and he didn't know what it was. And suddenly he had the revelation of how he can make that work for him.
Right.
So hopefully if he incorporates it into the show tonight, he will tell the other performer what he's doing. We also had a revelation last night that we all thought would be very, very funny.
Again at the bar.
Again at the bar. I said specifically, it would be funny, possibly, but maybe you need to take that to the director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's something that could conceivably change the pace of the show or the feeling of the show,
right.
and the director may not wish to have that take place.
Right. And it might throw the light booth off. Right. I mean, it could do a number. And it just could be utter chaos.
But these are things that happen during performance. And if they can make the performance stronger, you don't want to necessarily... Yeah.
You don't want to stifle that.
Why not? I mean, especially like, and this is Greater Tuna that's on right now. And then you get two performers. So there's not a lot of people to inform. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a little easier that way. But show of hands. Who likes prima donnas? I shall record that there are no hands up.
I wish we were on video.
If you were on, we've been looking at that. I'm not sure how we can do that. If occasionally, I mean, most directors try not to cast people who are difficult, but have you had experience where you had a difficult, just a pain in the rear, arrogant fellow cast member, and had to deal with that as an actor?
Deep None of us want to say.
Well,
I've had to deal with it as a director,
I've had to deal with prima donna music directors.
Uh huh.
I will say that, but not ever really with an actor.
But if you're on stage, you don't have that directorial authority to kind of straighten things out necessarily. How do you handle that?
Well, I know that the shows that I've ever done, it's always been made clear at the beginning that if you have a problem with another cast member, you go to the director, and then that's handled that way, rather than causing some kind of rift or problem that could occur between you and another actor on stage without... Because what if the director doesn't know anything's going on? All of a sudden, these two people are on stage, and they're at each other's throats, and the scene is just totally botched up because they just can't even work with each other.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily that they're at each other's throats, but that maybe the actor just refuses to do anything that the director says, and the fellow actor is trying to, and yet it doesn't. Have you ever had that situation?
I have. And it's frustrating, but, ultimately, it's kind of the director's problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It is.
Because most of the other actors... I don't know, animosity, if you will, is being directed towards the director. It's not towards me. And it means that we can't go places that we could go otherwise, which is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not usually a lot that I can do about it. You know, it's kind of something that the director has to deal with if the person is being undirectable.
In some respects, the problem's worse if the person's really good. You know, because then they think that they know everything, kind of, there's all that sort of issue as well.
Yeah.
Okay, what other pet peeves do you have?
Paraphrasing? I did a show once with a gentleman whom I love more than life, and he could not get out a paragraph, even sometimes close to the way it was written.
Mm-hmm.
But his feeling was, as long as he got the cue line out, that was all that was required. And it drove me nuts. It really did.
But you know what? I think that's a mindset, because... If he could get the cue line out, he could get the whole speech out.
Why didn't you tell him that then?
I'll.
Were you directing, Dave?
I have no idea who we're talking about.
Oh, I thought maybe Marsha was talking about a show that you were directing.
No, it wasn't that.
I'm
sitting here
David.
Trying to guess who it is, but I have no idea.
I have as,
you
a,
know who it
as
is.
A director, though, sometimes I have thrown up my hands. And I work very, very hard to try and get the author's words out for, and make sure that the cast is doing that. But there comes a point where it has become obvious that the speech is now set, that nothing that you say is going to fix that, no matter how hard you try.
Right.
And so, so you kind of say, okay, this is what's going to happen here. And I often have even made one final, like a final thing. It's like, all right, this is set, so all of you on stage, this is the way it's going to be now, because this we need to move forward. We need to we need to not continue to fight on this monologue or fight in this section.
Right.
It's paraphrased, it's done, we're moving on.
Well, and actors have I don't know why actors do it. I mean, and I'm saying that as an actor who I will do it as well occasionally, and I try, you just find, I've been saying that, and that's not the script. And it's like, you slap yourself and say, can't you read? Because you shouldn't say it in a different way. And yet, now as an actor, when you're on stage, there's a certain point, at least if they're paraphrasing the same way every time, you can deal with that, right?
Right. Yeah. It's when it's different every time. Well, that's the problem.
But it's not set.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And that's the problem during rehearsal is that until they get it set, it's different every time.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, sometimes even when it is set, it's set, but without, you know, the word that makes my speech make sense. Right.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to come up with
it. You have to deal with that somehow.
You have to get a keyword question going back so that they'll say it or something. Yeah, it's trying to save it.
Listening so important.
Okay.
But I think a lot of times I've come to the conclusion that we often memorize wrong because of our regional dialects.
You think so?
And I know that sounds weird, but I think
I know what you mean.
Well, what I'm starting to realize is that we live, for example, in northern Indiana. We have a certain way of saying things that may not be the way the person who wrote the script, who grew up in New York, for example, says things.
Right.
And so it's written one way in the script. And as we start to memorize it, we may memorize it wrong because we want to speak in our regional dialect.
Right.
I know that sounds everybody's looking at me like I'm completely crazy. Well, yeah.
Where are you at?
You know,
extreme example, somebody who's used to saying y'all, which they say in Texas.
Yes.
Then up here, they might be, instead of saying you, they throw in a y'all accidentally, you know. And,
right.
And that's wrong for the script, but it's just the way they talk.
Or even sometimes the way we phrase a sentence is different from the order of words is different from the way here in northern Indiana, from where Annette grew up in central Michigan, right? To where Doug worked in southern Indiana or in Texas, and he starts to incorporate regional dialects into his regular daily speech. And as we start to memorize, I just think sometimes we throw things out and we start to think that we've memorized it correctly and we're saying what we think is right, but it's really the way we would normally say it.
For me, that's where taping comes in. It's when I think that I have it memorized, that's when I have to tape it, go through the script listening to it, and mark the parts that, you know what, I'm saying that word wrong every time, or I'm switching those two words every time. And that way, when I look at my script, I know what I need to focus on from that point on. Because, it's when I think I have it memorized that I need to check and see if it's
really a director, or in this case, as an assistant director for this last show and being on script and having people call line and then giving line notes afterward, all I can do is just keep encouraging the performers to go back to the script, go back to the script. You've got to go back to the script.
Right.
Because it's funnier the way it's written here.
Yeah.
You know, you may think that what you're saying is funny, but it's much funnier and more concise if you go back to the script.
That's part of my read-through speech, too, is that, you know, the author spent all day trying to write this script. He probably has it figured out so that it's funnier his way than your way. So, cool. All right. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up today for Theater Geeks. What is this? Everybody's looking at each other laughing.
We're just having a good time.
All right. Okay. All right. But before we go, I want Doug to say something Texas.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible.
It was a pleasure to be here with y'all.
There you go. Good. Okay. Thanks very much to Doug Lund and Annette Kozanowski. Say something Central Michigan.
I don't even think I can do that anymore.
All right, okay.
Don't go near New Jersey.
Never mind. Okay, thanks a lot for being with us. And remember to stop by theatergeeks.com, also our store, theatergeeks.com/store, where we have hats and mugs and all kinds of interesting stuff for you to purchase, including, John, you can say it.
Teddy bears.
Okay.
That's
which
good.
Rhymes with?
I like that. Nothing.
Which rhymes with, Doug?
Underwear.
There you go.
I really failed to see why you think that is so hysterical.
Because guys, potty humor is always funny.
All right, our underwear.
Oh,
and we love underwear.
That is it's upsetting.
I like the idea that they rhymes with teddy bear. Teddy bear and underwear. Okay, thanks for being with us. Also, you can listen to the podcast at the website, but also subscribe on iTunes at the Zune Marketplace as well as Blueberry Network. And you can also, there's another new way you can actually pick us up on your flat screen television if you've got a Roku box. So there are a lot of different places where you can see or you can actually hear us on and subscribe to the podcast. So thanks for being with us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
What about Roku?
Is that where I'm going to be able to get my soaps when they're off the air?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
It is. Apple TV.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.